This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello, this is Ramesh here. Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. I'm talking quickly and quietly because I've just arrived on set of this sitcom I'm doing and I realised that I forgot to do this intro. So welcome. I hope you're well. Today's guest is Sarah Callahan, a comic that I've been a fan of for a while. Very honest comedian, which is why I like her. And also has a bit of a different spin because she hasn't been into hip-hop for ages and ages. She's got into it relatively recently. So somebody with a bit of a different take on things. The other thing I'd say is because I was suffering from jet lag, I drank a lot of coffee before we did this record and I sort of was like pissed on it. You'll see when you listen to it, but I was sort of off my tits. So the conversation meanders quite a bit. So I guess arguably there's less hip-hop than in this episode than some of the nerdy ones, mainly because I went off on a tangent. So feel free to tweet me about that and tell me how you think it's shit. But it's a great episode. I think you're going to enjoy it. My recommendation for this week's episode is Zarface and Doom. I don't know if you know Zarface, but Zarface is basically 7L and Esoteric, formed a group with Inspector Deck from the Wu-Tang. They've done some stuff with Doom before. They've just released an album with Doom. And I read reviews of it, and the reviews aren't great. They think that it's sort of a bit regressive, and, well, they said it's sort of okay. All of the reviews I've read of it said it's sort of okay. But I listened to it, and I think it's fucking wicked, man. So that, honestly, I can't stop listening to it. So that is my recommendation. Also, another album I've been listening to that I haven't listened to as much, but I think I'm going to move on to as soon as I'm done with Zarface and Doom, is Fonte. Fonte from Little Brother's got a solo album out, another solo album called No News Is Good News, and it's great, man. I really, really like it. So there you go. Those are my recommendations. I hope you enjoyed the episode. Bye.
This is the Hip Hop Saved My Life podcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Now sit back, because it's time for the podcast.
Welcome to Hip Hop Saved My Life. I'm joined by Rumaj. Hey there, mate.
I'm good, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
What have you been up to? You normally ask me.
Oh yeah, I have been, I've put on weight. I've fucked up.
Oh shit.
Yeah.
I'm so, starting my regime next
dude,
week.
Dude, you can't just keep every time saying you're starting. It's, like, you know it's been
I'm
a
doing?
Month
I'm just going
to
eat soup for lunch.
Is that what your plan
yeah,
is?
Yeah, that's my plan.
So do you know what I've done?
Yeah.
First of all, I ate too much and I forgot. I just away and I fucked up. But that Fitness Pal, have you got the Fitness Pal app? Mm-hmm. It's where like everything you eat, you enter it into the thing and it tells you how many calories it is.
Oh God.
But you can scan the barcode and shit like that.
Can I started you? Doing and that. Does it work on everything?
It's worked on everything I've tried, but I haven't tried like magazines or anything. I've tried like I've like put it on all the foodstuffs I've tried so far.
What do you think the most fattening magazine is?
I'd go Grazia.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've been doing that and just work. And then you can like go like, so say for example, you always like eating 3 avocados on toast.
Yeah.
If that was your thing.
You can't scan that in, can you?
No, you can't. No. But what you can do is you can program it in once and go like hangover breakfast.
Right.
And then it's stored. So you've got that bank of shit. Do you know what I mean?
That's
and
good.
Then you can work out what your calorie intake
is. I'm going to get that.
You should get it, man.
Yeah, well.
And good.
Yeah.
And, I'm going back to personal training tomorrow, so really? I've had 2 weeks off. So it's very exciting times for me.
The thing that always puts me off about that is just having to sort of chat. It's like when you get your hair cut, I can't be bothered to engage in conversation.
Well,
I imagine it's much more intimate when you're...
He stopped talking to me now.
Oh, that's great.
Because, perfect. Like, we sort of, initially when we did it, when we were getting to know each other, like, he chatted and, like, we did a bit.
He got to know you.
Yeah. But also, like, I'm doing it first thing in the morning. I just don't want to fucking talk.
Got
do you know what I mean?
Got to know you.
Yeah.
So, like, now, occasionally he'll ask a question when I'm in the middle of a set. But most of the time we just sort of don't talk now.
The question's like, what the hell are you doing?
Well, he knows Lisa, yeah. Quite well. So he'll go, how's Lisa? I don't know why I had to give an example of a question he might ask about someone. So he knows my wife, so he might go, how's your wife, for example? Yeah, so we don't really chat. I just smash through the thing and then he leaves.
Okay.
Yeah, but it's good. So what are you going to do? Eat soup for lunch?
Eat soup for lunch and sort of think about doing some exercise.
My wife's bought a soup maker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's another interesting anecdote. So you just throw the shit in a thing and then you wait for a bit and then soup comes out.
Great.
Yeah,
should get one of those.
Pardon?
Isn't that just a blender?
No, dude. Like, a blender, you have to fucking actually make the soup and you blend the thing. This thing, you just chop it up, throw it in there.
So you don't need to, like, peel a potato or...
I don't know what... Right. I don't know what level the ingredients have to be when they go in there.
Yeah.
But I think it's fine.
This is the bit where we introduce our guest.
How long do you think we can drag this conversation out?
I don't know. I'm sort of looking... So our guest today is Sarah Callahan. Yeah. And we just said to Sarah before we started recording, and we do a little bit of shit chat. And I'll just be watching and just go, I can't fucking believe they're talking about this.
And we're on our second coffee.
We're fucking off our tits, right?
Sarah, do you like soup?
Love soup.
Yeah?
You're in the right place.
We said to Sarah before it started, we said, if there's anything you find interesting, jump in. And she said, fucking.
I was waiting.
She's been like an elective mute the whole time we've been talking. Sarah, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Cheers, thanks for having me.
How's life?
Yeah, good, man.
Yeah?
Good, yeah.
Have you just come from abroad? Not here, but like, have you been abroad recently?
Not recently. I wish.
Are you going abroad?
I'm going to New Zealand next month to do
festivals.
The comedy festival. Yeah, in Wellington, Auckland.
So. Have you done it before?
No, I'm well excited. No, last 2 years I've been to Australia.
Right.
And that's been amazing. Like, the crowds there are just so sick. So I'm hoping New Zealand will be the same.
What did you do in Australia? Did you do Melbourne and Sydney?
I did Sydney and Perth.
Right, what's Perth like? Because I never did that when I did it.
It was good. Like, it's quite a quiet town. There's not much to do around there. But, like, the crowds are good, the theatres are good. Like,
do they, like, actively follow British comedians, or are they... They're sort of marketed to them.
Well, yeah, it will say, like, UK or Ireland in, like, brackets and stuff. Right. So they come, like, I've only been out there for 2 years, but I'm getting, like, return customers come to my shows and stuff, because... Like, I did a show, and I'm from Uxbridge, and I mentioned it in one of my shows.
Big up Uxbridge.
Yeah.
Any Uxbridge listeners?
UB10, repping.
Nice.
And fucking... So I was there, and this couple came up to me. They were so drunk at the end. They were like, oh, we love the show. I was like, thanks. And they were like, we're from Watford. And I was thinking, oh, God, it's not really Uxbridge, is it? Like, but thank you for coming. I appreciate it. But it's like you were saying about having to talk to people. I felt like obliged to then talk a little bit about Watford. I'm like, oh, this is so boring.
Yeah. You know,
but, no, they're nice.
In America, they're so obsessed with credits, right? So, like, when they bring you on at a club, they'll go,
oh, yeah.
You'll have seen him on da 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 da. Obviously, no British credits mean anything, really, in the US, but they just pick a random thing.
It's like sweat the small stuff.
Yeah, no, it would be like that. It would be like that. Sean Walsh was like, telling, he was over in the States, and he said they put... You'll have seen him on Play to the Whistle. And, like, don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with Play to the Whistle. I was on that show, but...
Didn't
I don't
travel.
Think nobody in New York is going, fucking finally.
Yeah.
One of those Play to the Whistle guys has come over. But the audiences are good. I love the audiences in Australia. They're wicked, right?
Yeah, they're really up for it. Like, I feel like they really, like, appreciate comedy.
Yeah, British comedy fans, what Sarah's saying is you fucking suck. Mm. Yeah?
Yeah.
Step your game up. You don't appreciate enough. That's what you're getting at, right?
That's basically what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck London.
So, good. Well, listen, thanks very much for coming. Did you come from Uxbridge today?
I did, yeah.
Can I talk to you? Sorry, by the way, I don't know if you can tell, we've had a lot of coffee.
Yeah.
But I want to talk to you about Coach Trip before we get to hip-hop.
Oh, fucking hell.
Is that a TV show?
Yeah.
Sarah's on it with her mum.
Really? What, recently or back in the day?
I can't believe you brought this up. You're
the guy I work with invented that format. Yeah.
What?
Andy Burton. He came up with the format.
So
oh,
is that
amazing.
A lot,
yeah.
Do you get a lot of money for that? For making
no,
up a format?
Probably not, because
like
he probably sort of did it under a... For a company, production company.
Oh, yeah, then they own everything.
Yeah.
That's the shit part of that, isn't it?
Yeah, horrible.
So, listen, we don't have to talk about this if you don't want to, but...
No, you can talk about
it. I watched every episode you're on.
Did you?
I've watched
it run for, like, a week or whatever.
Yeah, what, they do...
The it runs for, I don't know how long, for quite a long time. Yeah. I was only on... for like 4 or 5 episodes because I came like towards the end, and then it, and then they chose the winner and they just kept me on. I did get a yellow card.
So, but you were a comedian at the time you did it, weren't you?
Yeah.
So what? Do you regret it or something?
I regret telling people that I, because I wasn't a comedian, but I thought it'd be an interesting thing to say about me.
Right.
So I was like, I should have said I do comedy, but I was like, I'm a comedian. So the whole time it's just like, fucking hell, tell me a joke then. And it was like, because I'm getting to know people, I'm trying to, you know, getting to know people and like making, you know, putting my best self forward because I don't want to get voted off. And obviously I'm with my mum.
Yeah.
And then we get a yellow card straight away because they were like, well, she hasn't told me any jokes. Right. I'm like, I shouldn't have said that because now they're expecting me to be funny, you know.
Did they, I'm sure in your intro bit, did they film you at a gig or something?
Nah.
I'm sure there's footage of you, maybe I just made this up.
Yeah.
When I applied for a visa to go to the States, they said to me, the guy at the US embassy said to me, it says here you're a comedian. And I said, yeah. And he goes, you haven't been funny or even smiled during this interview.
Tell me.
And I was like, because I'm trying to get in the fucking country.
Yeah. I swear you're not even allowed to smile in those days, are you?
It's so weird, though, when you say to you're a comedian. I've genuinely had people go, like when I've gone out, I've met up with my brother or something, and he said, oh, Romesh is my brother. And they've gone, you're not anything like what I expected. Like, you're not funny at all, really, are you, in real life?
That's the only... Is there other professions where you introduce as that? Like, if you tell someone what your job is what other profession is there?
I think doctors get a lot of shit. Like, not like, you know, you'll go, I'm a doctor, and then they'll undo their fly and they go, what is this on the inside of my car? I think that probably does happen.
Yeah.
Or like builders or whatever.
Yeah.
Decorators and shit.
Estate agents as well. Like, actually, if you tell someone you're an estate agent straight away, you're like, oh, you're a prick then.
Yeah. Estate agents are pricks.
They are pricks, yeah. My brother's an estate agent.
Yeah. Fucking cunt. Brother's a cunt. I think the first time we met was at Amuse Moose, the competition. Do you remember?
What, you were emceeing it? You would have been in it, would you?
I was in it.
Fuck off.
I was in it. I'm sure I was in it. I'm sure.
How long have you been doing stand-up then?
2010. Like 8 years, 9 years.
Oh, but you're a dickhead.
Why?
I've been going 8 years. Look at his fucking career compared to mine.
Do you know what that is though, don't you? Yeah, you know what that is though, don't you? Ethnic minority, mate. That is fucking purely what it is. I'm like the Eminem of British comedy. I've ridden my race all the way to the fucking TV. No, I'm joking. What do you think of comedy competitions?
I think they're good when you like, if you first start, like... It's something to say, oh, I was in the final of this or whatever, and it's good to meet people and stuff like that. But I mean, I think these comedians that do them like 10 years into a career, it's like, just give up, man.
Fucking lose.
Because I don't think they do too much for your career, really. I don't know. So I know so many comedians that have been going for so long and they keep doing it.
Do you know what? Do you know what I felt like you were doing there? I felt like you were going into a rant about comedians that have been going for a few, and then you started doing a little Wikipedia check if there's anyone you know and like that
he's still doing it.
Do you know what I've done so many? Do you know why? It's because I've done so many podcasts recently when they've before they've released it, they've sent it back to me and like, oh, just like make sure, and I just sound like a complete dickhead. I just like start ripping people and I feel like I need to just watch my mouth a bit. I've got so many stories about Coach Trip. I was like, no, don't say that.
So did you like doing Coach Trip?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, it was wicked. Like, because I watched the show anyway, so I was just like, when I applied for it, I was like, yes. And then we got on it.
Didn't
so many comics have actually done it, you know?
Joey Page?
Yeah, Joey Page did it.
But a lot of these things, you see them on Dinner Date, Come Dine With Me. Fucking Kate Smurfwaite was on Couples Come Dine With Me.
That's right, yeah.
Like, and all this show, and what's the other one? First Dates. Like, I'm like, comedians pop up everywhere. I think, fucking hell.
Yeah.
So Coach Trip was all right, I think, out of all of them.
Did you do it because you just wanted to do it and you watched it, or did you do it because you thought this would be a good thing to get on TV?
Oh, no. It was like, I loved the show and I just wanted a free holiday. Like,
yeah.
We went to all the Northern Lights and shit. We went like sledging with Huskies and it was like, right. It was banging.
And it was all
paid for. Yeah, he's nice. Yeah. Exactly what you see. Like,
right.
Yeah. I was hoping he'd be a bit different, but.
And is it like, is it as cutthroat as it seems on the
show? Yeah, well, cutthroat. And people talk about who they're voting for and stuff. So it's all kind of, you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Or like you'll say, look, so you meet up with another couple and you're like, if you vote for Karen and Sarah, then I'll vote for blah, blah, blah. And that means no one gets to go and all this sort of stuff. So it's like people, you're not supposed to, you get told off, but everyone does, you know what I mean? But then, I sealed the deal for us because we were going to get voted off.
Yeah.
I think not because they didn't like us, but just like they wanted to keep the original people on. And then on Saturday night, I fucked this geezer in an igloo. And then so that
whoa, kind of, whoa, 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 whoa,
a fellow coach
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whoa. What do you mean you fucked a geezer in an igloo?
So basically, we were staying in
this
igloo.
You can't say that like I went and bought some milk. What?
So,
how did it come to pass?
Is this exclusive?
Have you told me? So how did it come to pass that you fucked a geezer?
Because everyone was like drunk and stuff, because the Channel 4 just like paid for all your drinks and
right.
that. So, and then we were staying in these igloos underneath the Northern Lights, which is actually like really good, actually. And then
were they nice igloos?
They were, yeah, so they weren't actually made of ice.
Right.
It was like plastic.
Right.
And then they had beds inside with a like electric blanket. And so it, well, they were cute. Mm. But they're like grand to like do that. Usually it's like literally $5,000 for one night. So the fact we were doing it for free, it was well good.
Yeah. You thought I need to fuck someone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. How so can I make this really more romantic? It, yeah. So yeah, it just happened basically. And then the next day.
Was it a geezer at one of the other people on the trip?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brendan.
Yeah, one of the couples, yeah. Yeah, it was Brendan.
It was a coach driver.
Yellow card for anal.
And yeah, so after that we got kept on, so I was like, oh, phew. We made it right to the end. So, it's
so you really put yourself out there. Yeah. You thought, I'm going to have to fucking
pull out the stops if my personality can't get me to the end. Maybe my fanny can.
Here's a little bit that we like to call, how did you get into hip hop?
Right, now, anyway, let's get to the fucking subject matter. So, Sarah, you are a hip hop fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. How did you get into it?
I was like a late bloomer. Like a lot of people, you know, they grow up in hip hop or whatever, but it's like I never really, like I had it around me, especially like obviously in the 90s and stuff, like growing up, and my brother would listen to things. And but when I really started getting into it was I was about 20.
Right.
I was just listening to the radio. It was like just by chance. And I heard Kendrick Lamar's Poetic Justice, right. which in hindsight is a pretty shit song. But I heard it. I was like, oh, it's cool. So I'm.
With a little Janet Jackson sample and all that.
So I googled it, and then like found out it was him, and then started like downloading all his stuff. And then after that, I was like, "Fuck!" So then he was the one that's kind of excited me into it, and then I just started listening to other things. I recognize your fragrance. Hold up, you ain't never gotta say shit. And I know you taste this a little bit. High maintenance. Everybody else basic. You live life on an everyday basis with poetic justice. Poetic justice. If I told you that a flower bloomed in a dark room, would you trust it? I mean, I write poems in these songs dedicated to you in. So what did you listen to before that? Before that was more just like indie, rock and things like that.
Yeah. And then so you got into Kendrick. So what album was it that you first listened to that you liked of his?
The first one was Good Kid, Mag City. Mm-hmm. And then I had to go back through the archive. So once I liked that, it was Section 80, Overly Dedicated, and then that, and then I started finding out about Black Hippie and stuff, and J-Rock, Schoolboy Q, Absol, and going through their bits, and yeah, it was just, it blew my mind to be honest, because I'd never heard anything like it, you know what I mean? Because everyone can, like, you hear rappers, but for me, what he's doing is so much different.
Like, why do you think it's different? I mean, what? Why did Kendrick get you in and nobody else did? Like, what do you think it is?
Just because he's like he's like a conscious rapper, which I'd never heard before. And at the time, like my friend is like, she's very into all that sort of stuff. So I was like learning a few bits and bobs from her, and then hearing him repeat that, and like it's kind of the whole fucking like woke movement, which I'm kind of.
Rue Madge's woke, aren't you? You're woke.
Yeah, it's all that coffee.
You consider yourself woke.
It's all the hot water.
Holy shit, dude. So like bring him in like like a with a surprise, and he just fucking drops that gold. Yeah, like, so good. Anyway, sorry, carry on, Seth.
So yeah, it was that, and just like the, I suppose a bit like, you know, Eminem, where he does like the like different voices and how it's like characters, like all his songs are like stories, you know. And for me, it's art, you know what I mean? It's obviously it's rap, but it's so poetic, and it's all his albums, especially like there's a beginning, middle, and end, and yeah, it's artwork, man. Like it's fucking amazing. So he definitely got me into it the most. He got my ears pricked up.
Do you think his voice helps? He's got kind of a funny voice, hasn't he?
I like it. So many people like, they either like love or hate Kendrick. And when I try and defend him, I'm like, I like his voice. It's good. Especially out of all them lot, obviously the Black Hippie lot, like they came up together, and then you can understand, like they're all good, I think, in their own right, but you can definitely understand why Kendrick was the only one that's gone, you know.
Yeah. Because he's like he's a megastar now, right?
Oh, that's huge. He's massive. Yeah. Massive.
Yeah.
Like, I always thought, why did he, when he did that bit on the Taylor Swift tune, I'm thinking, you're a sellout. Like, why have you done that? But then I found out how much they get paid just for that tiny bit. I'm like, oh, okay, understand.
It's weird, though, isn't it? I remember when, do you remember when Wu-Tang did that song with Texas? They did.
Do you know that? I generally don't remember.
Sarah, you're so much younger than us, so this is like really fucking. You're just sitting there going, okay. but Texas, what was the big song they did? Say What You Want.
What did they do, a remix of it?
They did a remix of it with Wu-Tang. It's just Method Man just fucking chatting shit. Say what you want, and the Method going,
I really want to hear that right now.
Can we drop it in now, please? Yeah. Full. By the way, I don't just want to snip it. Play the whole fucking tune. Nobody go to the guard, say so. You got a second or more to run for the dough. Before I blow back off the map contact, you didn't know stack could get down like that. And when I get that freedom, I can no longer slide. I can no longer run. So you go into Kendrick. What is the song? Basically, I've had too much coffee, and I am slightly, I feel a bit trippy.
Yeah, enjoy.
What's the thing about where he straps the Eiffel Tower to his dick so he can fuck the whole world? I pray my dick get big as the Eiffel Tower so I can fuck the world for 72 hours. So I was chatting to somebody about that, but they're saying the scale of that is wrong. Because, like, even if your dick was the size of the Eiffel Tower, the Earth's vagina would be much bigger, like...
And you're to fuck for 72 hours.
That's
like,
it. Yeah.
It's a long time.
Yeah. You can't, you wouldn't even be touching the sides. Do you know what I mean?
Why do you think the Earth would have quite a tight fanny then?
No, but you think about the scale of the Earth. The Eiffel Tower is like a pinprick on it, right? You'd have to, your dick would have to be much bigger to fuck the world for 72 hours.
Was that a Keith Murray lyric?
The girth would have
lyric?
To be insane.
Stick my dick in the ground and turn the whole world around. Is that Keith Murray or
maybe.
AZ?
He says something about an organic compound as well, doesn't he? Keith Murray, it's a sort of Keith Murray lyric. Anyway.
Yeah.
The first album you liked, what did you think of the second one?
To Pimp a Butterfly, was that the one? That was a bit too much for me, to be fair.
Thank you. So I thought it was too much.
Yeah, like as a...
You just said that your favourite brand of cupcakes was the same as I. Yes! Finally! Lilies, right? Yes! Sorry, To Pimp a Butterfly. Yeah,
like as a collection of words, like as a whole thing, it's like, it's amazing, it's incredible.
Right.
But one, he longed it out, which pissed me off anyway. I'm just like, just release it, man.
Yeah.
Two, yeah, it's a bit heavy. Like for me, it's like you always got to think, where am I going to be listening to this music? Chilling at home, in my car, at a party.
Fucking in an igloo.
Yeah. Like, if you're never going to listen to it in any of those, I listen to it and I'm like, when would I ever just sit and chill to this? It's very angry, it's very in your face. There's a couple of tunes in there that are all right, but yeah, I didn't really like the album as a whole at all. Nah.
And then Damn?
Oh, fucking love it.
Yeah.
I thought that was wicked. I'm so glad he went back to just kind of fun tunes. So there's all different types of tunes. There's like love ones, there's like fucking political ones, you know what I mean? And it's just. That's definitely one that I can listen to in the car, or anywhere really.
Yeah.
I love that album.
It's a weird album because it doesn't, I mean, I'm just thinking, like, it's got Loyalty on it, which is quite catchy, but it doesn't have any tunes on it that you think are obviously going out to be the big hit. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just a very cohesive, great album, right? The cover is weird, isn't it?
Well, did you hear though? Because it's going to do this thing, so it's going to be called Damnation.
Right.
And then it was like, so he was going to release two albums back to back. And it was all over the internet. I'm like, fucking hell, like, oh my God, I can't believe he's doing this. So like, it was about being the devil and a saint.
I don't know any of this.
Yeah, so I saw it, but it was all just a myth. It was a lie, but it all made sense. And I was like, yeah, this is definitely something he would do. So, and then they even had the track listing. I mean, someone's gone to like a big like extent to fucking lie about it.
Yeah.
But that would have been a really cool idea.
Yeah.
But yeah, it never happened in the end.
But I just don't like, because Kendrick, obviously at the time that Damn came out, he was already huge, right? And then it's just a photo of him just looking a little bit ropey.
Mm.
Outside the studio or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just amazed that they let him do it. I guess he'd let him do whatever he wants. But, like, I got into trouble when I did my first Edinburgh poster because I wasn't looking at the camera. And
why would you get in trouble for that?
Well, they said I couldn't use it as a poster. Because you have to be looking down the barrel of the camera, apparently, to do it.
Really?
That's stupid. I've seen so many posters where people are looking away. Like.
Yeah, well, if you look at Romcom, the classic 2013 Edinburgh show, you will see that I'm looking to the side. But that was one of the most controversial moments of my career.
Have you ever done one of those sort of comedian ones when they're like holding the back
of
their
head? Oh my god,
it's
like the inside lining of the blazer. Yeah, yeah. That's the famous one for men to do.
Or holding a microphone just to show that you are a stand-up comedian. That's
yeah. It's like laughing at someone.
The scratch the head is a weird one, isn't it? But like, is that because you're just sort of going, the world's just a funny old place, isn't it?
You're just trying to be humble.
Yeah. Yeah. So what the...
Just got a couple of thoughts I want to share.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a really different spin on something that you thought was just regular. That's what scratching the head does.
They should use that in hip hop.
Yeah. There are tropes in hip hop photos, aren't there? Yeah. There's certainly tropes in hip hop videos.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And did you listen to the album of Offcuts? Not Offcuts, but do you know what I mean? His recordings, the number tracks. What the fuck it was called?
Untitled.
Jesus.
Bottom drawer stuff.
What was it called? Sarah doesn't have a name. The album that didn't have a name on it. I think I'm drunk.
Hey, man, what's your favourite hip-hop album?
So, what's your favourite album? Is your favourite album Kendrick's first?
Yeah, I think so, because obviously it's the first one that I properly listened to, and I just killed it in terms of like listening so much. Like, even when I hear it now, like, I get goosebumps, because I remember like where I was, and he just opened my mind a lot to that sort of music and the production, and it's good. I mean, I probably know there are better albums out there, but because it's like your first love. You never forget your first love.
Yeah.
You never forget your first album that you got, you know.
Who was your first love, Rupert?
My first love? A girl called Amy Butler.
Right.
It's the first girl I snogged when I was 13.
Right.
I fell in love with her.
And what happened? Did you get
school?
I wrote
her a letter.
Right.
And she never replied, and that was it.
Why did you write her a letter?
I'm quite old.
No, but what I mean
before
is...
Email.
What I mean is, why didn't you speak to her directly?
Because she was... That's when I was living abroad.
I see. Where did you live?
In Dublin.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. And she was in England.
So you had like a pen pal? And she never wrote back?
No, it wasn't a pen pal.
Oh, right. Then you have to write back for it to be a pal.
It was one kiss. That was it.
What did you say
in the letter?
Can't remember. Probably something disgusting.
Did you go tongues in that first kiss?
Yeah.
Who was your first love, Sarah?
Who was my first love? Probably a teacher or something.
A teacher?
Yeah, I was just
Romish
a fancy
used to be
teacher.
A teacher.
Oh, yeah. What did you do? Maths?
Mm-hmm.
How was that?
Good. Fucked so many of the kids.
It's 2018. I
was the first love of quite a few kids, yeah.
Yeah.
Fucking smashed through year nine.
Are you sure you want that in?
Are you sure that you want that in?
That's
what I used to say to the students before, so it's all consensual. I've had too much coffee, Ryan.
Do any of your ex-students listen to this? Podcast,
yes. Actually, I got a tweet from somebody that went to the Kendrick gig.
Yeah,
I think the same one as us. I used to teach.
I was there that night as well.
The same night as us.
Yeah,
you were at the same Kendrick gig as us.
Yeah,
I've had too much coffee.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
Oh my god, I was crying. I was like, this is fucking insane.
I'm worried we've mentioned it too many times.
Do you think so?
Maybe
because it's the only gig we've been together.
Yeah, that's true.
So, have we been to any other hip hop gigs?
No, I don't think so.
No.
It's be the last.
Sarah, talk us through the Kendrick experience from your point of view. So it was at the O2.
Mm.
Where were you sitting?
I was sitting quite near the stage. How can I explain it? So the first row up from the stand-in.
Right.
And then at the front, near the stage.
Yeah.
Fucking banging seats, actually.
Were you there for James Blake?
I wasn't there for James Blake, but actually I really enjoyed his set. I thought he was wicked. But I did a load of MD. So when it's like... and all the fucking lasers, I was there like... Fuck, man! This is sick! You can hear I filmed it in all the videos. Just like, this is the one! He won the Mercury Award for this one! Or you're going to be like talking over the video. It's so embarrassing. I was the most annoying person ever.
What did you think of Kendrick's stage show and all that?
Incredible.
Yeah, nice.
Absolutely incredible. Mm. Like, he just put on the show. And the fact he's just like one guy. There's nothing really. He's like, not like dancers or anything like that. Just one person to put on such a show like that. Crazy.
He had sort of karate guy come out. That was it.
And I love all the little videos and stuff in live shows when he did that whole like sort of movie thing.
Yeah,
the he's Kung Fu Kenny thing.
In,
Have you been to any other hip hop gigs?
I've been to a few. Yeah.
What have you been to see?
I saw. Oh god, the worst one ever was fucking Kid Ink.
Oh yeah.
Really?
So shit. He's so shit. I don't even know why I went. It was full of kids.
Yeah.
Right.
And this boy was trying to dance with me the whole night. I'm like, fuck off. And it was just, he was so shit because he come out in just like this vest, obviously covered in tattoos.
Yeah.
And it's sort of the whole like getting everyone to do that and all these just like middle class like white kids. And the album was whack anyway. Like, I don't even know why I went. I think tickets were real cheap.
Yeah.
It was at Coco. So it's a good venue.
Yeah.
But to be honest, when they play the music before an act comes on, when all the lights are on, that was the best. Mm. I was just there dancing. I was like, yeah. I could happily do this all night. Mm. When he came on, I was a bit like, we just. Turn the radio back on, please. But yeah, that was shit. I'll tell you who changed my opinion, because I wasn't a huge fan of him before. I liked him. I wouldn't say I was a fan, but I'm definitely a fan now. It was Drake. His live show was insane. It was so good.
Okay, hold up. How does it compare to the Kendrick show that we went to? Now
Kendrick was more punchy, and obviously I like all his tunes. Mm. But Drake was like, he had all these like balls coming down from the ceiling. He had all these lights. Like,
what
he was
kind
like
of balls?
These like these purple balls.
What's wrong with
you? It was like that.
Know.
It was like,
I don't know what the fuck is wrong with me.
It was like loads of them,
right?
Coming from the ceiling. Stuff's really set the tone.
No, yeah. I wasn't getting.
I know.
But the reason I was asking about balls is like, that sounds okay. But then if you're saying like, if it's like a ball pit.
Mm. No, it wasn't like that. They were tied to the ceiling and they were just coming down. It was all like pink and yeah, it looked visually very good. And his rapping was good. And then he was doing stuff with the crowd. He had really good stage presence and that. Because sometimes when they talk too much, you're like, all right, cringe, man. Just fucking get on with the tunes.
Yeah.
But or they try and be funny. You're like, all right, you're not a comedian.
Yeah, Kendrick was good for that. He just went straight from one to the next.
Yes, he did.
And then
when he did speak, he was so uncharismatic, wasn't he? Like,
what did he say?
I remember one point he spoke at length about how the Eiffel Tower thing scale was wrong.
But and I saw J. Cole as well. J. Cole was sick. He was really good.
J. Cole should be bigger than he is, right?
100%. I've seen him a couple of times. First time I seen him was at Wireless,
right?
And no one was there. Yeah. And he was singing. You know when they like sing a bit and they're like, they want the crowd to repeat back. He was doing that, and I'm thinking, just stop it, because he was. No one knew the lyrics. No one, but he kept doing it. I'm thinking, you're not dumb.
Mm.
Just it was really quite embarrassing. He did well, but it was quite embarrassing.
I saw
then now the O2. He was mad. He was really good.
I saw Jerry the Damager. I don't. It's probably before your time, so.
Mm.
I saw Jerry the Damager, and he was at this festival, and he was doing that thing where he's trying to get the crowd to fill bits in, and they didn't, and he ended up just walking off halfway through his set.
I try and do that in my jokes, and it really works.
So J. Cole was good.
Yeah.
What was the crowd like at J. Cole?
Yeah, decent. They were quite chilled, actually. Everyone was quite, because he's very conscious as well. So it's like he was doing. He was doing all his tunes, but he came out. It was he had the stage like a prison cell, and he came out in the orange jumpsuit in chains. But I was a bit like, Kendrick did that on one of the award shows, so copy him. But then like he was like doing all these like really cool speeches in between each tune and
about what, like his views on taxation and stuff.
And then he showed footage, right, of when the police like broke into his house, because they thought it was like, they didn't know that he'd lived there, but they thought there was like drug going on in there.
Yeah.
They like bashed down all his doors because he's got cameras all around his house, and he was like, fuck the police. That was pretty banging, and everyone was going mad for it now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was quite chill.
That, but you know who he'd call if his iPhone went missing. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
He'd be straight on the blow at him, wouldn't he?
Also, why has he got cameras all round his house?
And it wasn't even a good house. It looked just
wasn't
like
it?
No, it was just like an ordinary. It looked like, no, like you get those like bungalows in America.
Yeah,
it's like one of them. Fucking.
Can you imagine that? Just like watching it go, oh, J. Cole's gas not right.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not doing this one as I thought.
Happened to Stormzy, didn't it?
What
yes,
happened?
Yeah, that did. Yeah.
The police broke into his house
because
they
saw just a black guy going, and obviously going into a house on an expensive street, and they just thought, oh. He must be robbing them.
Yeah, but that's not the police's fault. Anyone would think that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, they did. They got tipped off by neighbours, innit?
They got tipped off by Stormzy's own neighbours.
They rung. It's just like there's a black man going into the house next door.
And then the police
he's like,
said,
"I fucking own this house."
Why wouldn't the police go just double check? Does a black man live there? And they go, yeah. I think it might be him. Actually, I'm glad you asked the question. Don't bother coming over. So, Jake, any others?
Who else have I seen? Oh, I saw I saw Snoop Dogg actually.
Yes.
He was banging. Yeah. He was sick.
When did you see him?
I saw him, I've seen him at just festivals, but when he headlined Wireless, and then I saw him at Park Life Weekender in like 2013, 2014.
Did the crowd go for him?
Yeah. Everyone's just obviously started smoking green and that. It's yeah. good.
And what did he do stuff from his, did he do his older stuff?
It was mainly just classics really.
Right.
Because you got to think it's all just kids there. Mm. Like, and it's at a festival, so you just do sort of like your hits.
I've been listening to his new EP. Have you listened to it?
No.
It's like got eight tracks on it. 220 it's called.
He's hardly on it, is he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
Like, there's one tune I heard. It's like,
the first three tracks are like R&B tracks.
Yeah.
And then he just comes on and goes, yes, no, dear jizzle.
Who's on the track then? Who's doing the track?
I think he might be using it as like to launch other people or something.
Right.
Because like it's like people I've heard of.
Is it a Snoop Lion thing? Is that what he's
been in Ghana.
Yeah. So what, he's not that anymore?
No. You know, he's only Snoop Lion for a bit. Because that skunk wore off. Fucking Snoop Lion, that was so funny. Can you imagine that? Oh, God, it's so funny. No, weed doesn't affect you at all. What's that? What are you calling yourself now? Oh, right. You're doing reggae? Oh, wicked. That's great. No, it doesn't have any long term effects. Did you listen to any of Snoop Lion's reggae stuff?
No.
Fucking hell.
Was it shit?
Would you. It was bad. It's not shit, but I don't think if you were introduced his new reggae artist, you would listen to it. Yeah.
But if ain't broke, don't fix it. Why would you want to change? Like, you've had a whole career of doing something wrong.
He just met up with a Rasta and like smoked some like really strong weed, and then thought, I want to do this forever.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Happens, doesn't it? It was like he had the munchies and I think I'm gonna.
Is he a South Park character? I think I'm gonna.
That was me trying to do Snoop. Can you do
No.
Dear double chisel.
Snizzle dizzle.
Oh god, I'm not even gonna attempt it.
So what are you listening to at the moment?
I'm listening to at the moment the Miseducation of Lauryn Hill.
Really?
Going back.
Yeah.
Great.
Since you were looking for your friend, the one you let hit it and never called you again. Remember when he told you he was about to Benjamins? You act like you ain't him, they give him a little trim to begin. Now you think you really gonna pretend like you wasn't down and you called him again. Plus when you give it up so easy, you ain't even fooling him. If you did it then, then you probably.
It's just good because I've just come out of a very long term relationship, and
oh,
I'm telling
shit.
You,
sorry to hear
she's good to listen to when you're feeling down.
Yeah, like, cause X Factor and all that.
Yeah. So it's like, she's just, oh man, Lost Ones, I'm like, yeah.
Are you a Fugees? Have you listened to any of the Fugees albums, or is it just Lauryn Hill you're into?
I'm just getting into that at the moment, because I was listening to the MTV Unplugged one before that,
yeah,
which was decent, and I was like, fucking hell, she's sick. Which I knew she was sick, but like to listen to her stuff like properly, go through it properly, it's like, yeah, she's amazing.
Are you a Lauryn Hill fan, really much?
Yeah, I am. Not nowadays, but yeah.
Why not nowadays?
She sort of just lost it a little bit now.
Yeah.
Her older stuff's definitely better.
I saw Fugees live in Manchester.
Did you?
Incredible, yeah. Noah's supported. It's an amazing
gig.
On a Ready or Not album.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Really good gig.
Yeah. Have you seen Lauryn Hill live?
No.
Don't.
What? Yeah, there's been That's reports, aren't there, recently of just sort of...
I saw her.
Why? What's she like live then that makes her...
It's dreadful.
Why?
Well, she sort of comes on and she's got a full band and everything and you get all excited and a lot of people around me were going, oh, she's turned up, that's good, it's a positive start. And then she's done so few songs, like, you know, she's not prolific, is she? Has she even done anything since Miseducation and Lauryn Hill?
I think there might be one other album.
Right. So she does her songs, but does like, she's obviously bored of the original versions of them because she's done them so much. So she just does like weird versions. So like,
oh, I hate that. Then you can't even like sing along.
Yeah, yeah. So she came on to Everything Is Everything, but she just does some weird version of it, like Everything Is Everything, Everybody.
Like,
so
it's like a sort of musical.
Yeah,
from the 60s,
I was gonna say like the Oliver or something like that. comes on with some chimney
and
sweep,
then you just sort of feel like the energy leave the room as everyone sort of realises that this is going to be crap. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I hate that. I hate when artists fuck around with the tune too much. That's again what I liked about Kendrick. He just kept it how it was.
Yeah,
I didn't fuck it up too much. Yeah. Oh, that's disappointing to know about her. But then I heard that about Janae Aiko as well. Like, I heard that she was shit live, and then I went to see her live, and she was amazing. So sometimes
it's just rumor. Days.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we do.
Does she not usually turn up then, Lauren?
I think so. Well, she turns up, she's half cut. No, she's not.
She sounds like me.
I think I've just made that up. Okay. Is there anything about hip hop that you don't like?
I don't like it when it's too aggressive.
No?
Yeah, I'm not really on that.
Like who? Is there anyone you can think of that
like Run DMC?
Yeah, do you know what fucks me up about Run DMC? Just constantly. Okay, I fancy walking the other way. Just leave me alone.
You
keep banging on about this for, mate.
You should listen to a bit of MOP.
You
get a bit of that ante up.
Yeah.
Every now and again it's alright, but it's like I don't need to pretend to act like a gangster. Like, I could just...
I do like that, though.
Yeah, so yeah, some people love it, but no, it's not really for me.
No? I like putting on like MOP or something and then just like driving to Tesco's. Not when I've got stuff
and
to buy.
And you're very still
what?
When that's happening. I'd imagine you're very still, even though that, the hilarious tune's playing just like that. But inside, you're bubbling.
I'm trying to get my kids into hip hop. And we've done a. This is the other
thing. They're pretty young.
Pardon?
They're pretty young.
Yes, they are.
This is our Spotify playlist, isn't
it? Yeah, we've got a Spotify playlist, kid friendly hip hop. Which has had to have a couple of rejigs because it turned out not all of it was as kid-friendly as I'd initially thought. But there's some jump-up tunes on there, and my kids are starting to get into it now, you know.
That's great.
Decent.
Although, I did play them Willy Bum Bum. Have you heard Willy Bum Bum?
No.
Sounds
good.
I was away recently, and there's a song by Mickey Avalon called... what's it called? My Dick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Have you heard this song?
My Dick. I'm trying to make a musical version of it. My dick.
The worst thing about a song called My Dick is when you have a go at singing it, you sound like how you just did. So anyway, My Dick, I don't know, this is such a boring story. But anyway, so it's where he just goes, my dick is big as a table, your dick is barely fucking able. Like, it's just loads of like, my dick's amazing, your dick's shit. It's hilarious. Anyway, I sent it to a mate of mine, and I said, have you heard this song? It's from years ago. But I just heard it recently. I sent it to a mate, and he said, have you heard this? And he sent me Willy Bum Bum, right?
And that's the kid-friendly version of My Dick, is it?
No, it's just a fucking weird song from a couple of years ago about us going, okay, I've got a little willy, I stick it in my bum. Well, me and my willy have all sorts of fun. Anyway, the reason I mention it, it's hilarious, and I played it to my kids because I thought I willy bum bum, it's not, and they won't stop fucking... Lisa's furious with me. They won't stop singing it, and they've started introducing their friends to it.
Have you put it on the kid-friendly playlist?
No, but I will do, shall I?
Yeah, why not?
What I'm going to do, I'm just going to put a warning out now. At the end of the playlist, I'm going to put Willy Bum Bum. And you just have to know that at the end of that playlist, it's about 4 hours long. So if you've been listening for about 4 hours, the next song is probably going to be Willy Bum Bum.
We'll
fucking
that.
Coffee, mate. This is insane.
I've got a little willy. I put it in my bum. Me and my bum have all kinds of fun. Me and my willy are really old friends. Would have put that with my willy hole in.
Sarah, you're listening to Miss Education and Lauryn Hill at the moment. I'm going to recommend you an album.
Yes.
Rupert, have you been listening to anything recently?
I've been listening to that anime that you recommended.
Amine. Yeah, you'll like Amine. Amine.
As an album, it's a good album.
It's a great album, yeah. That's a good recommendation. So, I don't know if you're going to like this based on what you've just told me.
Okay.
But there was a group called Helter Skelter, and the two members of Helter Skelter... I'm sounding like I'm starting a story, like a kid's story.
Settling, guys.
Yeah. So, Rock and Rock were the two members of it. Rock, Sean Price. Sean Price died. But they released, at the end of last year, a posthumous album called Imperious Rex. And I've been banging that album out. And it's my Ramesh recommendation of the week.
Yeah. I Chewbacca the chicken, chin checking your chest. Chucky chop cam, God stamp out the boot from the camp. I'm proving I can. I'm proving you fake. Like you moving them grams, a Peruvian flakes. I am truly your ape. Season the leader. Put two in your face. Pop, pop. Bleed where I leave you.
What sort of vibe is it?
It's just him sort of brag rapping, basically.
Okay, yeah,
but it's just something very compelling about it. And I really like his flow.
Is it in a similar style, musically, in a similar style to their, you know, early stuff?
Yes, yeah, it is pretty much. But the only thing is, some of it, there's a track. Some of the disses are like really. Like, there's a track with a guy called Rusty Jux on it, right?
Right.
And he says. He says something like, I'm paraphrasing it, bullets will tear through your Avrex, you get paid money to engage in gay sex, right? And I just think, come on, mate, we're not eight. Like, do you know, it's such a fucking stupid.
You should play him Willy Willy Bum Bum.
Yeah. It's about that level of fucking maturity.
Plug one, plug two, guest plugs for you.
All right, cool. Sarah, this is your opportunity to plug what you're up to at the moment. So what are you doing and what have you got coming up?
So I'm basically just working towards my show, my new show for 2018. It's called The Ballad of Sarah Callahan.
Why is it called The Ballad of Sarah Callahan?
Because it's a mixture of comedy and poetry.
Whoa!
How will it work? Will it work? Will it won't? It fucking works, mate, and it's sick. And it's good. Yeah. I'm very, very happy with
hold
it.
Hold on. Turn down the fucking ego a minute. have you tried this before?
No, never done it before, never. Right. And I was like, it's never going to work. Then that flow just won't work. You know, it's like you do music and comedy at night, never really. And I've done a few previews, and it's like it's really nice. Like the audience just goes. Changes with the tone with me, you know what I mean? And
what made you, so are the poems comedy poems?
No, they're not. So like they're kind of links into each section. There's only four poems in the whole bit,
right?
In the whole hour. And it's nice because usually in an hour show you need like a 40 minute mark, like a bit of music or something to kind of get people's attention. But because I'm doing the poems over music, it's like their attention has. They're with me the whole way, which is I've never had that in a whole show before. So that's cool. But yeah, nice. It's been good. It's been touching people, and you know, the comedy bits as well. I'm trying to like make them as gag heavy as possible because I know the critic's going to be like, oh, it's not comedy. It's spoken word. It's like no. It's a comedy show with poems. You know.
What made you start doing poems?
I've been writing poetry for years, but I like never really like told people about it. I was a bit embarrassed, and then but then I started doing them, and then people were like, "Oh, you're good. You should take more of that."
I saw you posted on Instagram about that Tupac poetry book. Is it Rose That Grew From Concrete?
That's sick. I literally bought that the other day. Yeah, it's well good. Yeah, it's all the poems that he wrote. I think it was his not his mum. Someone. Basically released it, but well good, because in each page it's the poems, and then the other side it's like a photocopy of the actual like notebook in which it was originally written in.
It's a bit dangerous, that, isn't it? Because like imagine if you wrote a load of poems and then you die, and then somebody goes through your notebook and puts out your
no context,
you got no idea if Tupac or
he didn't like them, he didn't think they were good enough.
I mean, the Rose That Grew From Concrete, even that as a phrase doesn't sound very Tupac-y, does it? But I don't think he came up with it. And I don't think I should say Tupac-y anymore.
Oh, shit.
So
you're allowed to say that out of all of us sitting around this table.
Because what, sir? Because I'm a packy. Is that why? So where are you doing that show?
So I'm doing that show. I'm previewing it all around in London, Brighton. I did Leicester, and then I'm taking it to the New Zealand Comedy Festival in April. So if you know anyone in Wellington or Auckland, send them my way. And then I'm going to be taking it to Edinburgh. So I'll be up the whole month of Edinburgh doing it.
Fuck,
there.
Fuck, man, you're doing Edinburgh.
It's almost 10 years, you know. Next year will be a decade I've been doing Edinburgh.
Wow.
Fucking mad, isn't it? So I'm due for a year off soon, I think.
Yeah, you need to stop that.
Yeah, otherwise it just merges into one thing.
Yeah. Do you like Edinburgh?
Not as much as I used to.
No.
It's changed. The vibe's changed, man. Like my show this year is about gangs and like the cliqueiness of like different gangs, but I definitely shine a light on comedy, the way comedy's just become very cliquey and like...
Yeah.
fuck off. I'm not jumping through hoops, you know what I mean? Like, book me if you want to book me, or don't if you don't. It's just like, oh, God.
Sarah, you have been a great guest. Best guest ever.
Amazing, yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. And that's it. Rupert, is there anything you want to...
No, just goodbye.
Oh, are you actually going to do the weight thing now?
The what?
You start trying to lose some weight?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it starts.
By the way, by the time we come back, Rupert might be...
Oh yeah, might be a dad.
Yeah,
she probably will. But
might be a dad now, mightn't you? No, by the time this comes out, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. So congratulations to me.
Yeah, if you have had
and my missus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.